Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, picking up at verse 33, and to finish out this chapter. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, "Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, or nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you give us understanding today as we study your word. And I pray that you help everyone listening. Put in them a heart to follow. Not me, I'm nothing, but to follow Jesus Christ with all their heart, to live to the best of their ability, and by the help of your Spirit, to obey your word, to know it, to study it, to understand it, and to believe it and to follow it. And Lord, we're careful to give Jesus Christ all the glory, and in his wonderful name we pray, amen. You know, in this culture we live in, we're very loose with the things that we say. It's common. It used to be not so common. It used to be if people swore, took God's name in vain, or said whatever, sometimes in the right company or right context, they'd apologize or say, you know, pardon my French or whatever. But today, radio, television, all over the internet, in schools, everywhere, you'll find the worst language imaginable. You know, back when I was a teenager in the 70s, we thought we were something. We could not have imagined the things that people have come up with and the sins that men have invented. One of the Ten Commandments says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Now, I want to say something that may seem strange or upset you, whatever. But even among Christians, it's commonplace for them to take God's name in vain. Something happens, first thing out of their mouth, "Oh my God." Or on the internet you type, or on a cell phone texting, you type OMG. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." God's proud of his name. He's kind of fond of it. He's had it, like, you know, for eternity. And he wants us to be mindful of him and to walk in fear of God, to be reverent and to not take his name in vain. If you say that kind of stuff, I'm not your judge, but please remember that it's the Lord you're speaking so flippantly about. But you know, going further than that, and to get back to the text, We make all kinds of statements, how we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And it's good to be ambitious. It's good to have some hustle, I guess. We need to try to better ourselves. We need to try to get ahead. And I understand all of that. And you know, that's what I'm trying to do, trying to get ahead, what have you. I guess everybody's trying to get ahead. But we ought to do so in the fear of God and say, Lord, please help me to do this. I'm thinking of one verse, can't quite quote it all, but he says, instead of boasting, you ought to say, you know, if God lets us live tomorrow, we'll try to do thus and so. We should be reverent of God and always mindful of Him and ask His help. You want to try and, you know, maybe go to school, maybe learn a trade or go to college or something. You want to try to shoot for a better job, try to get a better station in life. That's fantastic. And if you study and go to college, and, you know, I've studied engineering, and that stuff's not easy, it's hard. If you can pass it, and I did sometimes, then you ought to be congratulated, because it's hard work. If you work on the job, and you apply yourself, and you try to be diligent, what have you, and you get a raise, you get a promotion, you earned it. There's no question about that. You earned it. And you should rightfully be proud of your accomplishments. Or if your kid does well in school or what have you, it's right to be proud of your child. That's no question about that. But again, I'm trying to get across that we need to keep God in our thoughts. And if you're studying and, you know, studying engineering or something, I remember one of the classes I took at LSU, it was an engineering course. It was called statics. Now, if something's in motion, you call it dynamics, but if it's at rest, it's static. So we studied statics. One question was a wheelbarrow. Wheelbarrow sitting there, it's got one wheel and got, I guess, two handles and 2 feet or whatever. And you pick it up, right at the point of picking it up, what are all the forces on the wheel, on the 2 feet, on the handles that are, you know, 3 feet long or whatever the case, and you have to calculate all these different forces if there's 100 pounds in the bucket or something. That's not an easy problem to solve. You may think it's simple, but honestly, I took a final exam. I had to be there for 7 o'clock in the morning for this exam. And I got out at 9 o'clock, and I think I made a C on it. I felt like I had worked at hard labor from sun up to sundown. Now, all I did was move a pencil and maybe wipe my brow. I didn't expend any physical energy. But mentally, it just about killed me. But again, we make these boasts of we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And sometimes we'll take God's name and flippantly just throw it around. But He says, don't swear at all. Don't swear by heaven, because it's God's throne, nor by the earth, because it's His footstool. You know, in the greater scheme of things, if you can pass a statics exam, that's nothing. God created the entire world in 6 days and then sat down and says, I'm going to rest a while. Okay, fine, don't take God's name in vain. Don't boast by Him. Don't make a promise invoking God's name that you may not be able to keep. But it says, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Okay, fine, don't take God's name in vain. I'll do it if it kills me. Well, it may, you know. Don't be flippant with your words and with your boasts and what have you. Always keep an attitude of prayer and asking God, Lord, I'm trying to do this. Please help me. And give the glory to Him if He helps you. And if you fail, we say, Lord, I look to You. I trust You. But it says, let your communication be yea yea, or nay, nay. Don't take God's name in vain, he's saying. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. And again, in our understanding of life and what have you, our culture here in America or whatever, we don't think like this. We don't think the Bible way. But God's ways, he said in Isaiah chapter 55, God's ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We think we have a handle on things. We think we understand. We've got this thing figured out. Yeah, but our human wisdom is so frail in comparison to God's. God knows how to do it. God knows what's around the next corner. God knows what's going to happen if you take this job and not that one. God knows what's going to happen. Look to him. And if you find an opportunity, by all means, you know, take it. Take that promotion or whatever the case, but trust God. Commit your way unto God. Look to God is my point here, and I believe his point. Depend upon him, and don't be flippant with your words and attitudes. But moving on, in verse 38 through 42, he says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. I just ranted, I suppose, about respecting God, but here Jesus said, respect your fellow man. It indeed says, an eye for an eye, a wound for a wound, a stripe for a stripe, what have you. I think it's in Leviticus or something. That is in the law. There's no question. But Jesus said, I've got a better way. Don't fight back. Don't resist evil. Somebody steals your stuff, then in your heart you say, well, Lord, I give it to him. That's my stuff. I want it and what have you, and I miss it, and I hope I can get another one. I can't afford it. But, Lord, I give it to him. In fact, I give it to you, Lord. It's your stuff. I mean, you gave me the money. You gave me the job to be able to get a paycheck to buy the thing, and now it's gone. Lord, they stole your stuff. I was just a steward of that thing. Have the right attitude. He says, you know, and this, you can take this too far, I guess, and get beat up, but whoever hits you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. Again, you can get beat up, I suppose, but he's trying to say, be respectful of that person, even when they're doing you wrong. Don't insist on an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In one part, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. If you're his child, if you trying to serve God with all your heart, study your Bible, go to Sunday school, whatever the case, in your heart you want to be a good Christian, God sees you. And when you get your stuff stolen, or you get jumped, or whatever the case, or they say horrible things behind you about your back, and all your friends hear about it, and they don't want to be your friends no more. God sees. God understands. And God is on your side. And in the greater scheme of things, it might just be that you end up in heaven, and they go to that other place instead. Again, have eternity in mind. Have the understanding that God is with you. And whether you live or die, you belong to God. Whether you fail in your endeavor, whether you succeed in what you're trying to do, or somebody comes and undercuts you and stabs you in the back, whatever, God is on your side. God sees you. And in 100 years, when we're all dead, what you were trying to do ain't going to matter anyhow. Because we'll be in heaven, and everybody will have forgotten what you were trying to do. Again, have the right attitude. What did Jesus say were the two great commandments? And I think the Pharisee or scribe or whatever answered him correctly. Love God with the totality of your being, with your body, soul, spirit, mind, whatever, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Again, it's a whole new way of thinking. The world says you need to get even, or steal it back, or whatever. You know, try to get even with them or something. But God says, let them have your stuff. God says, I understand what they're saying about you behind your back, but, you know, why don't you turn around and look at me? I'm in the front. Take my hand and let's go. We're going on to heaven. Trust me. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. They'll get theirs. But you keep on living for God and you'll get His. You'll get the Lord's. You'll get heaven. You'll get to walk on the streets of gold. You'll get to live in the city where there's no night. You'll be able to pluck a leaf off of one of them trees that grows by the river that comes out of God's throne, and you can be healed. That other guy, he may be able to crank your stereo for a while, and that's great. But you get to go to heaven. And that's much, much greater. But look at the next few verses, and God tells you how to deal with it. Verse 43 to verse 47. Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. And that's pretty much what the law said. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You know, you can't earn heaven. You can't earn salvation. I preached extensively on that last time. Salvation's a free gift, and it's justification by faith, trusting in what Jesus did to pay your way into heaven. You can't earn it by anything that you do. And if you pray for them which despitefully use you, they stole your stuff and you say, oh God, help them. You know, maybe they can get a job and work for their own stuff instead of having to steal somebody else's. Lord, if they got somebody sick in their family, will you please heal them? Fine, you can do that. You can have that attitude. That can be a good work for you. But that good work can't pay for your sins. Again, you're justified not by the good things that you do or the bad things you refrain from doing. We're justified and saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. But God did all these things for you. He forgave you. He got you off a crack or whatever the case was. You need to live for Him. You need to walk worthy of the things that God has done for you and given for you. You can't earn it. You can't pay it back, but you can walk as though, hey, I'm a child of God. Now that's a hard thing to do. To pray for those which despitefully use you. They're saying stuff behind your back and backstabbing, and you lost your job because of it. You don't know why. Pray for them. I ain't praying for them. Well, I understand. I've been like that. Some people I don't like praying for it too. But if you do, you prove that you're a child of God. You prove that you're a Christian. Again, not outward religion. Not I'm sitting up straight in church and whatever. I'm there every Sunday and putting money in the bucket. The rubber meets the road when they say stuff behind your back, stab you in the back, gossip, what have you, and you love them. You forgive them. You're nice to them. When really what you want to do is, you know, get back. You prove that you're a dedicated Christian when you can love your enemies and pray for them and do good to them. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, the tax collectors, the government officials do the same? If you salute or say hi to your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know, it's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of living. It's just a different way. And God's way, remember, they mocked him. They beat him. They plucked his beard. They nailed his hands and feet to a cross. At any time, Jesus could have said, Father, why don't you send some angels down here and fix this? I mean, I never did nothing wrong. Just like Isaiah 53, no sin was in my mouth. Why is all this happening to me? But remember, he said in the garden, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But it's your will, and I'll drink it. I'll willingly go to the cross, willingly give my life, because I love these people that are doing that to me. He didn't fight back. He could have. He's God. Do anything he wants. In a fight, he wins. But he laid down his life. Jesus said, I'm going to take up my cross. You need to take up your cross and bear it and follow me. Live like he did. Forgive instead of get even. Love. Be patient. Overlook, what have you. That's the Christian way. But you say, how do I keep this? The Sermon on the Mount, it gives all these hard things. How do I do it? How do I forgive my enemies and love them and what have you? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, I guess to verse 20, well, I guess to the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, Paul speaking, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, we're human. They steal your stuff, they say bad things, you want to get even, that's normal. That's what people do, it's how people think, and it's a battle, it's a struggle. To say, no, Lord, I forgive him. I got to look that guy in the face and smile the more at him. And he did that to me, but I'm going to trust you. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. In other words, this is what sinners do. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, the list goes on. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, partying, and such like. Of which I tell you before, and I'll tell you again, he said, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But look at the flip side, the Christian way. But the fruit of the Spirit. And again, not you sitting in church trying to be good and you manage to somehow do good. No, but God lives through you. Know you not that the Spirit of God dwells within you? God is on your side helping you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. It's natural to want to do all those things that you used to do. It's natural to sin. It's natural to want to do things you shouldn't do. It's natural. But God says, no, I've got a better way. And the Christian who wants to live for God will say, no, I want to do the right thing. Take up my cross and bear it. I'll crucify the flesh, the desires that I have, the sinful desires that I have. I'll crucify them. And he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You want to be a Christian? You want to go to church and sing in the choir, whatever? But there's temptations and there's life. You know, life is rough and hard and what have you. But God will help you through life. God will give you power to live the Christian life. He said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. I'll be with you, even to the end of the world. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.